This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I'm no stranger to the rain. I'm a friend of thunder. Friend, is it any wonder lightning strikes me?
I fought with the devil.
Got down on his level. But I never so he gave a fall.
All right, this is a short little segment. We're going to jam two calls in. And then Paul Joseph Watson of Summit.News takes over. Emmanuel in California, welcome.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Nice to talk to you. About the chemtrails, there was a Fox 40 news report a few years back. It was out of Las Vegas. So if you type in Fox 40 News, Las Vegas, Nevada, they had a report that for the first time they were using drones to be used for cloud seeding. So they admitted that they were spraying in the atmosphere, and they've been using planes since the 1960s. But the only reason they did the report was because they're bragging now they're using drones for it. And then they were talking about the chemicals in there. And one of the things I remember was they're saying there was a yellow organic compound. And the guy they were interviewing with that said he doesn't even know what it was. So they're spraying this stuff without even knowing what's in it.
That's right. People say, oh, have the pilots expose it. They're told to spray it. That's why they admit there's these projects. That's what we've got to expose.
Well, the government, it was the government admitting it. But the trick is, when you say chemtrails, it's a conspiracy. You have to use cloud seeding. That's the politically correct term for what they're doing. They're spraying this garbage. I'm sure it's got aluminum.
And they treat us like animals, like, oh, it's not even going on. Don't even look at it.
With aluminum barium, if that stuff gets in the soil, it kills the microbes. So they're literally killing the soil when this stuff reaches the ground. So anyways, I was hoping maybe you can pull that up. I know you don't have time today, but if you can bring up that Fox News report, they have the video. They have video of the
drones. It's like drones now. Yeah, there it is. Making it rain. Drones can be the future for cloud seeding. Fox News 5 years ago. All right. Thank you so much, Emmanuel. Amazing points. Thanks for holding. Turk in FEMA Region 9, last caller, the next phase of the InfoWar. Tell us about it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alex. Hey, man, so I keep on hearing, not only when people call into you, but everywhere, they just keep asking, like, what can I do? What can I do? And, Alex, I'm calling it to get you an idea of what we can do. And it's time for people to step out of the metaverse and step into the arena. It's time to get people off the couch and have them step into the arena. And what we've developed is an organizing construct that can partner. I've sent you your show tips. I sent it to your advertising guys. We want to pay you, Alex, with an NFT project that is going to do this. It's an organizing construct that will do coalition building. We get in. Partnership with medical and legal advocates, then we start working with them to document research. The people will be tasked through this gamification of political action. And what they'll be able to do, Alex, is they'll be able to find, document, cite, and organize information on COVID-related crimes, criminals, and injuries. And then,
okay, is there a website? Where do I find out about this?
This is called Step Into the Arena Game. StepIntoTheArenaGame.com. Alex, put your people on it. We want to pay you hundreds of thousands of dollars. We can make this happen and to keep the InfoWar running. But this is what it does is it's not just to advertise and sell products. What this does is it organizes people. It gets them into the game and puts them on the offensive. We set out real life missions for them to take on and go after these COVID.
And you're right. People need a mission. All right, Turk, I appreciate your call. I will check out that URL. Thank you so much. All right. Paul Joseph Watson from the United Kingdom takes over in 60 seconds then, in 56 minutes. Owen Schroyer and the War Room from the ATX studios in Austin, Texas. Remember, only reason this resistance is happening is your support. So thank you all for your word of mouth and your support. InfoWarsStore.com. The third and final coin in the Founder Series is selling out now, 1776coin.com.
The Internet and talk radio are on fire with the slogan, Alex Jones was right. People ask, what's it like to be vindicated? Well, it's actually a very sick feeling because I knew this was coming. I tried to stop it. And now everything I've talked about is going to become more important than ever because the globalists aren't hiding it anymore in policy reports and documents. It's now out in the open. Klaus Schwab said last week that they rule the earth. The Bilderberg Group founded Davos Group. So now the fight's out in the open. They're making their move because they know they're behind schedule. We're going to win this thing. God's watching. The children are counting on us. I just want to thank the viewers and listeners for your word of mouth and your prayer and your financial support, because without you, InfoWars would not be here. So I want you to really internalize the fact that you are the InfoWar and you are the reason humanity has a fighting chance. So I want to thank you and salute you again for all you've done and ask you now to redouble your efforts.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
You're live, it is the Summit News Hour on this 2nd of June 2022 edition, Gay Pride Month, because if there's ever a movement that hasn't attracted enough attention, it's the Gay Pride Movement, isn't it? They need more cultural establishment endorsement and protection, because they're just such an oppressed minority. We're going to get into that. We're also going to tell you what happened to the small village in northern England, which the government suddenly announced with no consultation with them whatsoever. A village of 700 residents, one shop. It takes 3 weeks to get a doctor's appointment. The government suddenly told them, oh, we're going to dump 1,500 economic migrants, which they call refugees, in their village at a disused RAF Air Force base, a stone's throw away from this village. Well, it's actually a good news story because they've protested against it and it's at least on temporary hold for now. But this is the agenda that our supposedly conservative government has said will be applied across the entire country. Resettling refugees that they rescue via border force boats after they pay criminal people smugglers to jump on dinghies and small boats from France and wash up on UK shores. There's no deterrence whatsoever. There's a lot of incentivization for them to get here. I don't even blame the migrants. If I came from some of those countries that they're coming from, I'd probably try to get here. But we're full, and diversity, as has now been proven by academic studies, peer-reviewed, is, no matter what they tell you, not a strength. I'm going to get into that in the next couple of segments, though, because I want to start with this gay pride stuff, because, well, they say life imitates art. Now life in this clown world that we live in is literally imitating memes. People joked online a few weeks ago that the virtue-signaling progressives are so desperate to support countless concurrent myriad of current things that they would incorporate the Ukrainian flag into the LGBTQI blah 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 cat on a keyboard flag. And yes, they have done it. Now, what's interesting about this is Snopes came out about 2 days ago and said, oh, there's a big fake conspiracy theory circulating that's false, that gay pride organizers are going to integrate the Ukraine flag into the, let's face it, already quite crowded LGBT rainbow flag. They said this is false, misleading, it's a conspiracy theory. Lo and behold, today it happened. Gay Pride Parade organizers add Ukraine colors to LGBTQ flag, presumably to ensure support for all current things are covered. And of course, the result, as you can see on screen now, is another migraine-inducing virtue-signaling vomit of colors. This is Dublin LGBTQ plus Pride, one of the principal organisers of the annual Gay Pride Parade in Ireland's capital city. Bear in mind that Dublin is so incredibly woke, left-wing and insufferable that it's already literally smothered in Ukraine flags from one side of the city to the other, outnumbering its own Irish flag by probably about 10 to 1 from what people have said online. But now the Dublin LGBTQ plus Pride, which is one of the principal organisers of the annual Gay Pride Parade in Ireland's capital city, has decided to add the colours of the Ukrainian flag to the ever-evolving rainbow flag. Now remember, it started off as a rainbow flag, then they included trans, non-binary, and all these other identities that they made up. Then they included last month, I believe it was, Sadiq Khan revealed a new flag which included a new colour to represent the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia, which he called Ida Hobbit. And they also included another colour which was shocking pink to represent women. God knows why, but they included that as well. That's not enough. There are not enough colours on this flag. Now they include the Ukraine flag too. Because, of course, if they don't, then maybe they don't support Ukraine anymore. So, yes, this is not a conspiracy theory, and I make that point because there's an article up on Snopes. Were Ukraine's colours added to Pride flag? Snopes, of course, absolutely renowned for publishing articles which claim things are fake based on obscure minutia, when in actual fact the entire issue is genuine and true. And it says, the colours of Ukraine's flag, blue and yellow, were added to a flag that's a symbol of LGBTQ pride. Rating? False. But then you'll note in the article they had to add later on that the Dublin LGBTQ plus Pride Festival did use a different version of a Progress Pride flag containing the Ukraine colours. So again, this is yet another example. Snopes, the headline says, were Ukraine colours added to the Pride flag? The claim is rendered a hoax, false, and then in their own article, they admit that it's not false, it's actually happening. And I'm looking at the website now, and there's a screenshot of it in the middle of the article. DublinPride.ie, and this is their Pride 2022 section. They've got the Ukraine flag right at the top, incorporated into this migraine-inducing, vomit-inducing rainbow flag. This is one of the organisations organising the Gay Pride March in Dublin for this month. So the actual fact-checkers, once again, in the course of fact-checking something and declaring it false, actually admit that it's true. Absolutely incredible. And again, they're literally fulfilling a meme that people joked about a few weeks ago when they said, hey, wouldn't it be funny if these people who are obsessed with flags, apart from when, you know, you fly the flag of your own country, that's horrible and racist and bigoted. You can't do that. You're a flag shagger, as they say here in the United Kingdom. But they will literally plant their flag in everything and add a million different colours to it. Wouldn't it be funny if those people are so desperate to signal their virtue that they took the already vastly overcrowded LGBT flag and put Ukraine colours on it? Wouldn't that be hilarious? Yeah, they did it. They actually did it. Snopes said they didn't and admit in their own article that they did. Meanwhile, talking about life imitating memes, US Marines ridiculed over gay bullets tweet. You'll remember after the invasion of Ukraine, and in fact before that, and one of the examples is included in this article, all these memes were made when Biden got in about bombs being dropped from U.S. military bombers under the auspices of another deep state invasion into a Middle Eastern country. But the bombs were painted with the LGBTQ rainbow flag colors. And it was like, oh, obviously the point is the deep state, transnational corporations, cultural institutions, governments appropriate this gay pride movement, whatever its origins. It's now the establishment. So this, the very idea that they have to go on marches in major Western cities to proclaim their rights because they're so oppressed is absolutely absurd. They're endorsed, supported, and protected by every single organ of the establishment in existence. But then, of course, these woke corporations, and indeed the military-industrial complex itself, appropriates that movement to try and add a sheen of legitimacy to their barbaric actions, bombing countries in the Middle East, for example. That was a meme a few months ago, but now the US military has literally fulfilled the meme. In a tweet to mark the start of Gay Pride Month, the US Marines account tweeted, "Throughout June, the USMC takes pride." And they accompanied this tweet with an image of a military helmet which says, "Proud to serve," with bullets strapped to the helmet in the gay rainbow flag colours. They end up looking more like lipsticks, so it looks even more stupid. But again, have any of them who run this Twitter account of the US Marines, obviously you would hope it wasn't the top brass, but they cave anyway. Remember that thing where they made new recruits march around in red high heels? They actually went through and fulfilled the meme. We live in clown world. We'll be back to talk about it more. Summit.news.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Summit.News headquarters. It's Paul Joseph Watson.
So both gay pride activists and indeed the US Marines are now literally fulfilling memes in their desperation to virtue signal and one up everyone else. This is also happening with the Ukrainian military, by the way. Of course, we have the Azov Battalion, which the media now claims was never far-right neo-Nazi, now that they're our neo-Nazis, drop the Nazi insignia from their uniform. We have this headline, media hypes new unicorn LGBTQ patch for Ukrainian troops. They have adopted this unicorn LGBTQ patch, I guess if the goons who raid people's houses and arrest them for criticizing Zelensky in Ukraine, because it's such a democratic country, I guess if they wear gay unicorns on their uniforms, then that might make that okay too. Meanwhile, WHO says gay pride events should go ahead despite monkeypox threat. Now, of course, experts have said that this monkeypox outbreak originated in two places in Europe, mainly a gay sauna in Spain and a fetish festival in Belgium, because homosexuality is such a healthy lifestyle. But again, just as they said during the George Floyd riots in late May, June 2020, remember those public health officials literally coming out and saying, no, racism is a bigger public health threat than COVID. So we're going to lock you down. We're going to prevent you from seeing your loved ones. We're going to stop you from going to your grandma's funeral. We're going to stop you getting diabetes and cancer treatment that's going to kill you in 2 years' time. Well, those BLM supporters, now they can mass congregate in numbers of thousands in major cities because that's more important. Well, they've done it again. World Health Organization says global mass gathering events planned for Gay Pride Month shouldn't be cancelled despite the fact that experts say monkeypox is circulating largely amongst LGBT people. They've literally said, top health experts in the UK, to gay people risking stigmatization, don't have sex with each other. But now the WHO is saying go out and mass congregate, despite the fact that it's transmitted by close proximity contact. Absolutely incredible. Let's shift gears now, though, because I want to talk about this in some more depth. Let's go to this video. I'll come back and talk about it. What really happened before the Champions League final this past weekend, which the media buried? Let's go to this clip. Chaotic scenes at the weekend before the Champions League final in Paris between Liverpool and Real Madrid. So-called Liverpool supporters rushed security and tried to enter the stadium without tickets or with fake tickets. French police responded by tear-gassing innocent supporters, many of whom hadn't even tried to enter illegally. That's what we were told by the media. But the first part didn't even happen. Exactly who was responsible for causing the chaos has been buried by media outlets in the UK. Here's who really rushed security entering the stadium illegally, while also being responsible for countless violent assaults and robberies. They don't look like Liverpool supporters to me. Take another look. They look like North African and Middle Eastern migrants, which would make sense because Saint-Denis, the area where the Stade de France is located, is one giant ethnic suburb where migrant gangs rule the roost. In fact, it's estimated a whopping 400,000 illegal immigrants live in the Saint-Denis area of Paris alone. At least hundreds, maybe even thousands, saw the 50,000 tourists visiting to watch the game as easy prey. You can watch numerous videos of people of a certain demographic assaulting Liverpool supporters in the link below. And how did the French government respond? By blaming the English football fans, who were actually the victims of the chaos. How did the French riot police respond? By attacking English football fans. French media responded by running cover for the true perpetrators. Like in the USSR, the population deciphers the lies of the government and the media, said philosopher Matthew Bocchetti. When they say a young person or a sensitive neighbourhood, we all spontaneously understand what they're talking about. The mayor of Liverpool, who was personally attacked and had his cell phone stolen, lambasted UEFA and French authorities for falsely blaming Liverpool fans. It was falsely claimed that Liverpool fans arrived late, when footage shows that the vast majority of them were there several hours before the game began, and many were refused entry. Meanwhile, organised crime gangs with fake tickets or no tickets at all were literally allowed to run riot. There were young people from the suburbs who were friends with the attackers, said French sports journalist Daniel Riolo. At least 1,000 thieves, robbers and bandits assaulted families, threw people to the ground, took everything from them, leaving people outside unable to attend the game, he added. According to many witnesses, and as can be seen on videos circulating online, the same stewards who blocked the entrance to fans with real tickets were also letting in people who seemed to be neighbourhood residents they knew and who clearly did not have tickets for the game, reports Remix News. Gregory Goupil, Secretary General of the Alliance 93 Police Union, told news channel TF1 Info, "Colleagues have told us they'd never seen so many unaccompanied minors, mostly North Africans, clustered and hyperactive. One thing is certain, pickpockets came in droves to steal cash, wallets or phones, sometimes even from the visually impaired, or people in wheelchairs." Claims made by the French Interior Minister that half of the arrests made were of Liverpool supporters were also later completely discredited. National Rally leader Marine Le Pen summarised what really happened. "Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin has lied and continues to lie. He explains that he did not see what foreign journalists and fans on site saw very well, that is to say, a horde of criminals who came to loot and assault people. The events that took place at the Stade de France are an allegory of all the dangers that weigh on France. Today we are unable to organise large events, keeping them free of violence and abuse." And the media covered it all up. Just like they tried to cover up what happened on New Year's Eve in Cologne in 2015, which was perpetrated by the exact same demographic. The same demographic which will be around to cause similar chaos when Stade de France hosts the Olympic Games in 2024. It's really becoming difficult, isn't it, for them to protect the increasingly tenuous narrative that diversity is a strength. Now, this final was originally planned to be held in St. Petersburg, Russia, where they don't have similar bountiful joys of diversity. Of course, that got cancelled because Putin bad. It took place in Saint-Denis, 400,000 illegal immigrants. It's one of these notorious no-go zone migrant suburbs. And basically all hell broke loose. I didn't even know about this until like 3 days after it happened. I even bought the mainstream media narrative that it was Liverpool football fans without tickets. It wasn't. They were actually the victims. There's now an investigation into overreach, police brutality by the French cops for tear gassing the supporters. There's no investigation into the actual perpetrators, the people behind this bedlam, because that would be racist. We have an article, "They found our fear amusing, football fans targeted by migrant gangs." French-Spanish journalist Alejo Shapira said, "The official version of the French authorities, the problems in the Stade de France were because there were too many Englishmen with false tickets. However, the testimonies at the scene give accounts of robberies, groping by locals from the no-go zone and police disorganization." It's the usual suspects yet again. Summit.news will be back. No, go away.
I want to take a minute out to address the viewers and listeners of InfoWars, and to remind you that we've been vindicated and that world government and its tyrannical aim of depopulation is now out in the open. Everything you and I have done together has been historic, and we cannot continue in this fight without your support. I want to encourage you all to be part of history right now while you still can, to get the third and final coin in the Founding Member Coin Series, the Come and Take It Free Men Bear Arms Coins, at 1776coin.com. In just a few days, this coin will be gone forever, and you will have the coin in your possession and know you helped InfoWars stay on air at the most critical time in our 28-year history. So I want to thank you all for your support. I want to encourage you all to be part of history and to get this historic memento that keeps us on air at InfoWarsStore.com or 1776coin.com while you still can.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Internationally from the Summit.News headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
Well, I just talked about what is happening in ethnic suburbs of France with these huge numbers of unintegrated migrants and the chaos they caused before the Champions League final in Paris. Again, it was in Paris, but it was in an area of Paris. The stadium is located in an area of Paris, which is home to 400,000 illegal immigrants in that area alone, most of whom are from North Africa and the Middle East. I'm going to get on to talk about what's happening in Sweden with this latest experiences of female Ukrainian refugees in Sweden, and in fact how now they're giving migrants who weren't even born in Sweden the right to vote, which of course is the ultimate goal. But first we're going to go to this video. We're going to tell you what happened here in the UK to a village which comprises just 700 residents when the government suddenly announced with zero consultation whatsoever, they were never asked, that 1,500 economic migrants would be dumped on their doorstep. Here's the clip. What happened to this small village told to accept 1,500 refugees? Here it is. Imagine you lived in a quaint, quiet village comprising of about 700 residents. Then imagine the government suddenly announced it planned to house 1,500 North African and Middle Eastern migrants right on your doorstep. Oh, that's precisely what could be about to happen to the residents of Linton-on-Ouse, a village in North Yorkshire, England. And suffice to say, the locals aren't too happy about it.
Like Catherine Dryden, who fears that an influx of bored young men is just asking for trouble.
They are going to be bored out of their schools. There is no infrastructure in this village. We're a very small, tight-knit community. Yes, we will be welcoming them and speak to them, absolutely not a problem, but that is not enough. What are these people going to do?
But wait, they keep telling me diversity is a strength. What could these bigots possibly have against their village suddenly doubling in size, swelled by ranks of new doctors, lawyers, culturally enriched by exotic, tasty new foreign food restaurants? Who would have a problem with that?
A group of schoolgirls videoed as they were propositioned by a couple of asylum seekers.
You know we're 15?
Yeah, how old are you?
21.
You know we're 15?
Cool.
Us. Oh, we're 15.
He likes me.
You're 21 and you're asking for a snack. We're 15.
I'm getting the word nuts.
Oh. Don't think that's the kind of cultural enrichment they were anticipating. Look at the size of this village. Linton-on-Ouse has one shop on the main road, just four buses run per day. Locals already wait weeks to get a doctor's appointment. Much like England, Linton-on-Ouse is full. There's just no capacity to take in all these people. Yet they plan to bus in migrants who will outnumber the existing residents by nearly 3-1. Pure insanity. And all cooked up without any proper consultation with the local community and just dumped on them.
It's supposed to be a democratic society, but nobody's asked us. And now, apparently, they're arriving next week.
And this week's announcement of a successful legal challenge will only put the plan on a temporary hold. Residents have been told by the government they'll get just 7 days' notice before any migrants arrive. And this isn't just a one-off case. It's the plan for the entire country. Under the Asylum Seeker Dispersal Programme, the government has ordered councils to make more council housing stock and private rented accommodation available to house refugees. This at the same time that Britain faces a severe housing shortage crisis, with skyrocketing prices and limited supply making home ownership unaffordable for many, with endless sprawling housing estates being built on the edge of villages and greenbelt land that's supposed to be protected, placing further owners a strain on already creaking NHS infrastructure and other public services. Meanwhile, at a cost to the taxpayer of £5 million a day, the government is paying for these migrants to be housed in 30,000 hotel rooms a day.
On the seafront in Eastbourne, this hotel would normally be home to some of the many tourists who visit this East Sussex resort. But these guests are not holidaymakers. They're asylum seekers, some of the tens of thousands who are currently placed in hotel accommodation.
And the authorities seem alarmingly paranoid about news reporters speaking to any of them.
As we filmed, this Home Office minder filmed us. Another tried to persuade the guests to go back inside. And as I tried to speak to some of them, I was told I couldn't.
They're not allowed to speak. They are just...
Well, they are allowed to speak.
No, they can't give any statement to you.
That's official. You're telling us on behalf of the Home Office that these people are not allowed to speak to us. Is that what you're telling us?
Meanwhile, our own homeless population is left to shiver on the streets. The majority of people sleeping rough in England are from the UK. No free hotel rooms for them. They'd be better treated if they hopped on a dinghy from France and came back pretending to be asylum seekers. Most of these migrant hotels are now completely closed to the public, because whenever they try to maintain parts of the hotels for use by tourists and other parts for use by migrants, like in Scarborough, let's just say the behaviour of the migrants makes the hotel's TripAdvisor and Booking.com review scores plummet faster than a skydiver who forgot his parachute. One Sudanese migrant at a hotel in Glasgow expressed his gratitude by going on a stabbing spree. And no, that doesn't mean all migrants are out to do harm, and I don't blame them for wanting to come here, but it only takes a small percentage of a large number to cause significant trouble.
The problem is that 90% of those that cross the English Channel are male. They are coming from cultures, in most cases, in which women aren't even treated as second-class citizens, and that leads to fear and terror, whether people are put in Linton-on-Ouse, on Eastbourne Seafront, in Windsor, or wherever it is.
And how did we end up here? Because under a Conservative government that promised to drastically reduce both legal and illegal immigration, our border has more holes in it than a giant block of Swiss cheese. Last year alone, nearly 30,000 refugees arrived on boats on UK shores, where they were immediately given a complimentary taxi service and free accommodation by our border force. And those numbers are only set to increase. Hundreds more arrived in the past week. Nigel Farage warns 100,000 could arrive by the end of this year. The government has vowed to send a small number to Rwanda. And even if they get past all the lefty legal challenges preventing them from doing so, that's a drop in the ocean. There have been 4,850 landings since the Rwanda plan was announced back in April. 200 more boat migrants arrived on Tuesday alone because there's no deterrent. Only incentive, both for illegal economic migrants and the people smugglers making a killing out of the entire racket. Many of them just rock up on the beach and run to the nearest town or village. Nobody has a clue who they even are. Instead of escorting the boats back to France, where they came from, we treat their occupants like celebrities arriving at the Ritz. And these aren't Ukrainian housewives. They're almost entirely young men from countries like Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan, that aren't even at war. They're economic migrants.
You can watch the rest of that video at summit.news. 2 points. People in the comments are saying, oh, well, this village probably deserves it because they were all, like, refugees welcome. They voted for this. Actually, they didn't. That's a village in the north where they didn't vote for left-wing pro-mass immigration parties, but they got dumped on anyway. And the other thing is, it's a good news story. Their mass protests actually worked, at least temporarily. They've staved off this deluge of migrants being dumped on the village. But it remains to be seen what happens in the future, because as the government has said, it's only a temporary stay. Meanwhile, migrant crossings surging between Greece and Turkey as tensions rise. 40,000 migrants since the start of the year have crossed from Turkey to Greece. And Erdogan himself has in the past admitted that he's using these migrants as a political weapon. We're told diversity is a strength. He thinks they're a weapon. Doesn't quite add up. As tensions have been mounting between Greece and Turkey, because Erdogan stated he would no longer conduct talks with Greek Prime Minister because Greece is trying to block the sale of American fighter planes to Turkey. So now Erdogan is threatening to flood Greece with more migrants, cause another migrant crisis in retaliation. Again, kind of suggests that diversity is not a strength if they're being used as a weapon.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
So we've talked about France's problems with its vast hordes of unintegrated migrants, mainly from North Africa and the Middle East. We've talked about what happened before the Champions League final with that group from the much-vaunted no-go zones that 5 years ago the media said didn't exist. We've talked about the UK government's programme to disperse, quote, refugees, of whom 90% are men and vast majority are economic migrants, out into the local communities, including in a small village with 700 residents, almost tripling their population. And we've talked about President Erdogan in Turkey once again threatening to use migrants as a weapon to flood Greece, because Greece is trying to block the sale of American fighter jets to Turkey. Then we see what's happening in Sweden. And remember, the Great Replacement is a far-right conspiracy theory. You're not allowed to talk about it unless you say it's a good thing, which Joe Biden does and all the Democrats do. Then suddenly it is a real thing and it's a positive development. And the eventual agenda is something that we now see going on in Sweden, where ethnic Swedes will, of course, at current trajectory, be a minority in their own country by 2060. Breitbart reports Sweden, population 10.3 million, has over 1 million migrants eligible to vote for the first time in the 2022 elections. And guess which way foreign-born migrants living in Europe tend to vote? Well, they tend to vote for left-wing parties that give them more benefits. What a surprise! Now, the total population of just over 10 million people, an estimated 1 million foreign-born residents of Sweden will be eligible to vote in the coming national elections to be held later this year. That's 200,000 people eligible to vote, more than were eligible to vote in the previous Swedish national election. Henrik Oskarsson, professor of political science, said, quote, "If you combine voting for the left party and the Social Democrats, it's a clear red vote. They vote left-wing. Why do you think left-wing parties want to import them in giant numbers? Because they really care about the refugees. No, they want power. While foreign-born residents of Sweden tend to vote for more for left-wing parties on average compared to native-born Swedes, They also tend to vote less in elections overall. 74% of foreign-born Swedes vote compared to 90% of natives. No doubt more of them can be convinced to vote. But even so, it's a huge number in the left's favour. That's why they import them in record numbers any chance they get. Of course, there was an interesting study carried out in Sweden a few years ago where they found that virtually every left-wing member of parliament of the ruling party did not live in a multicultural area of Sweden. They lived in the whitest area of Gothenburg, for example. Possible a similar situation you find here in the UK, where often the most vocal virtue signalers when it comes to mass immigration live in the whitest areas of London possible, if not the whitest areas of the country possible. I've talked about that many times before. Now, talking about Sweden, they continue to enjoy the benefits of multiculturalism, as do the female Ukrainian refugees who have entered the country in pretty significant numbers over the past few months. Here's the video, Dress Modestly for Diversity, where Ukrainian women in asylum centres in Sweden have been told to cover up because it might provoke a certain demographic. Here's the clip. That when the West imported all those female Ukrainian refugees, it also imported a bunch of Islamophobic bigots. Ukrainian women in Sweden warned not to dress in a way that could provoke Muslim men. And there you were thinking the desperate primary care needs of people fleeing a war zone were more important than upsetting the feelings of Europe's new diverse demographic. Well, think again. Ukrainian women at the Galaxen Refugee Center in Olofström, Sweden, have been told not to dress in a way that could provoke men from other cultures who also live at Galaxen housing facility, according to the Swedish newspaper Nyheter Idag. One refugee aid volunteer working at the facility said that the Ukrainian women made the mistake, before the advisory, of dressing like other European women. They usually dressed like us, you and me, said Gitana Bengtsson, and that's a big no-no. This is Sweden, after all, which is now basically only a European country in terms of its geographic location. After being warned that they were provoking horny migrant men into culturally enriching them, the Ukrainian women have now covered up. As we previously highlighted, some Ukrainian refugees are refusing to be taken to multicultural Sweden because they fear for their safety. They obviously never got the memo that diversity is a strength. More bigotry was on display when female Ukrainian refugees complained about Muslim migrants breaking into their accommodation and attempting to sexually assault them. How dare they? Having been one of the safest countries in Europe 20 years ago, before mass uncontrolled immigration, Sweden is now the continent's second most dangerous. Last year, Germany's Bild newspaper ran the headline, Sweden is the most dangerous country in Europe. The country is routinely beset by violent riots staged by migrant youths. But yeah, if women just stop dressing like women, maybe they'll all calm down and start being nice. There you have it. Let's move on to some other news now, though, in the final 4 minutes of the show. World Economic Forum urges people to eat seaweed, algae and cacti to save the planet. This was a Twitter video they put out a few days ago where the WEF technocrats urge people to ditch meat and other foods deemed harmful to the planet and instead consume climate-beneficial foods such as seaweed, algae, and cacti. Of course, we know what this is all about. This is about lowering your living standards, which they're now doing via food price hikes, global food shortages caused by their support for the current thing. Of course, they blame Vladimir Putin for it, just like the Biden administration blamed him for the runaway inflation that was already happening way before the invasion of Ukraine. Of course, the WEF previously published two articles on their website, which explored how people could be conditioned to get used to the idea of eating weeds, bugs, and drinking sewage water in order to reduce CO2 emissions. Now, you know what was not on the menu at the COP26 climate change conference last year in Scotland, attended by many of the same people who attend Davos and the World Economic Forum? They weren't drinking sewage water, they weren't eating cacti, seaweed, or indeed bugs to lower their CO2 emissions. What they did do was fly in on a phalanx of private jets because it's okay when they do it. You need to lower your CO2 emissions. You need to cancel that one international holiday you may be lucky to have if you can still afford it with your family per year, they still get to fly in on private jets to all these conferences, eat the finest meat, the finest cuisine possible, while you're going to eat crickets, grasshoppers, and mealworms. No word on whether sewage water or cacti or algae were on the menu at Davos last week, but hazard a guess that they weren't. But again, this kind of pod-dwelling, bug-eating meme that the establishment continually pushes in the name of lowering CO2 emissions, we've mainly seen it via technocrats like the WEF, we've mainly seen it via quirky lifestyle pieces on CNN and stuff like that. Where we haven't seen it so far, but we have now, is in schools. We don't have time to play this video, I'll tell you about it. Four schools in Wales are now conducting a science experiment where they make kids eat bugs to save the planet. But again, they emphasize in this experiment, the point of it is for these kids to then go home and bully their parents into ditching meat, into ditching other foods, and eating the bugs. Again, it's brainwashing the kids with social engineering in schools and then weaponizing the kids to use that brainwashing to pressure their own parents, divide and conquer. Meanwhile, lockdown advocates have been proven to be on the completely wrong side of history once again. Report, more than 3,000 diabetics in UK died because of COVID lockdowns. Remember, as I mentioned earlier, while all those Black Lives Matter supporters were not only allowed but encouraged by the media, by the establishment, indeed by the government, to go out and congregate in mass numbers, while you were told you couldn't go to your grandma's funeral or see your loved ones or get a doctor's appointment. In another damning analysis of the impact of lockdowns, it has been estimated more than 3,000 people in the UK alone with diabetes unnecessarily died because they were unable to get checkups. Telegraph reports an NHS study found a move to remote healthcare and a reduction in routine care in the first 12 months of the pandemic had, quote, absolutely devastating consequences for diabetics and resulted in them being pushed to the back of the queue. And again, we don't even know the full toll yet of deaths from missed cancer screenings, missed heart disease screenings, and all these other important checkups that people needed desperately to have. Those numbers are going to come out over the next 6 months, over the next 2 years, and they're going to prove once again that lockdown advocates, as they scurry away with their tails tucked between their legs, were on the wrong side of history. That's going to wrap it up. War Room is next. Summit.news. Don't go away.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. You, the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.